Aaron Sorkin's film The Social Network, about the rocky beginnings of Facebook and the lawsuits surrounding the site's co-founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, is a hit at the box office, with many asking what, if any, of the story is real, and who are these Studley Winklevoss twins? Rawr. Today we dive deep into the world of tech startups, new media, and Facebook. Our personal take on the movie as co-founders of another internet startup you may be familiar with, Feast of Fun.
Also, all the hot news. Big gay celebrities are joining Dan Savage's video testimonial campaign, It Gets Better. But will it help better the difficult situations many LGBT youth face in real life?
The shocking statistics on queer youth suicides.
Fashion designer Mondo comes out as HIV positive on Project Runway.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger virtually legalizes marijuana in the state of California.
Chippendales loses a trademark lawsuit on the iconic bow tie and cuff costume.
And more on Bishop Eddie Long, the anti-gay, gay black pope of Atlanta. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
In a world without Facebook, Harvard undergraduate and computer programming genius Mark Zuckerberg rises against the odds and begins working on a new idea. Coming soon to theaters near you, The Social Network. You don't make over 500 million friends without making a few enemies.
You don't want to fuck with me now that we're friends, darling.
That is so ridiculous.
It's nefarious sounding.
And this movie really had about as much, how can I describe it?
It had as much action and suspense as Frost versus Nixon. This time it's personal.
I kind of thought
the verdict.
I think it's more like My Dinner with Andre. Just
yes.
People sitting at a table talking.
Yeah, it was like a lot of talking in the movie, and they make this sound like it. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to show up and be like, come with me if you want to start Facebook.
No car crashes, no chases, no airplane fight, you know, nothing.
I have to say, I like this movie better when it was originally called Revenge of the Nerds. I actually did like The Social Network, but not for the same reasons that most people like it.
Well, what do you think the most reasons most people like it are?
Facebook is a very successful website, and everybody uses it. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, in many ways, is a movie. The Social Network is a movie that defines us as a generation, that we're aching to reach out to each other, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we feel so disconnected from each other. And there's that wonderful paradox that's represented in the fictitious portrayal of Facebook's co-founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, mm-hmm. who in real life really doesn't resemble that character that much, in my personal opinion.
From what you've seen in interviews on Oprah or on CBS.
60 Minutes, you know, it would be like if I were portrayed in a movie and I would come across like that, you know, and I'd be like, girl, I don't look like that, you know. And I'm sure, imagine if it must be personally embarrassing or angering if you had a fight with some people and you started a website and then they turned around and violated the non-disclosure agreements, mm-hmm. and put out a book, and then that book was made into a movie, and then all your employees on Friday afternoon took the day off of work to go see the movie.
Well, he let them all take the
day
off. So all the employees of Facebook took Friday off and saw this movie.
Well, they like closed down several theaters in Palo Alto, California, and went to see it.
And
without Mark Zuckerberg.
So Mark has not seen the film.
He's not going to go see it. He's like, I know the bullshit that's behind this movie.
It's on the internet already. He could just illegally download it and watch it at the comfort of his own mansion in his own cinema.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that Facebook still technically has not gone public. So Mark Zuckerberg is a billionaire in paper only, now Facebook, the company, has made a lot of money from advertising in the past mm-hmm. couple of years, but he can't like go to a bank account and cash out $1 billion.
No,
not yet. But he will, hopefully, in the future.
I think their biggest injection of money was through Microsoft, gave them, what, $215 million?
Well, the thing is that Yahoo, the company, we're getting really technical here, people. And this is part of the reason why I think The Social Network is fascinating to people who run websites like Mark and me. But for you, who generally the public is people who consume websites. Mm-hmm. They don't go to meetings. They don't deal with web developers. There aren't web developers themselves. They're not sitting in a boardroom drawing diagrams wireframing a website, for example. Like, they were trying to make wireframing a website exciting in a movie. I thought that was hysterical. But anyways, Yahoo offered Mark Zuckerberg and the people that were running Facebook at the time $1 billion. And Mark Zuckerberg famously declined it because he felt like the site had not yet blossomed into its full potential. And he also felt like it's his baby. It's his life dream. And so he stuck to his guns. And then Bill Gates and Microsoft came in and bought some stock in it, which gave Facebook so much more value. Mm-hmm. And as a result, the Winklevoss twins that are portrayed in the movie and some of his other co-founders, most famous, the
Ernesto, right?
Ernesto, yes. Who plays, who's played by, let me look here, Eduardo, the character, in real life, it's Eduardo Saverin. That's it. And played by Andrew Garfield in the movie. And, you know, I think Eduardo Saverin comes across as very sympathetic, but probably in real life, he tried to fuck them over by shutting down their finances.
Well, he comes across as sympathetic, but he also he comes across as not very imaginative and way out of his league.
Yeah.
Way out of his league. So you can see why Mark kind of leaves him behind.
Yes, it was like All About Eve, but a tech startup.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really do appreciate that the movie made a reference to Revenge of the Nerds and also to The Karate Kid in several times.
That was my favorite line, because the Winklevoss twins are hot, hot, impossibly hot guys, and they're blonde. Because, you know, blonde guys are always evil, according to Bart Simpson in movies. And in Karate Kid, poor Ralph Macchio gets chased around the gym by this hot guy who's also a blonde in a skeleton outfit. And Mark Winklevoss, when they're talking about going to sue Mark Zuckerberg, he goes, "Oh yeah, that's gonna look real great. I'm gonna appear like the skeleton wearing a skeleton costume chasing him around the gymnasium." I just howled. Nobody else in the audience laughed.
But. And you have to give props to the guy who director Aaron Sorkin, who's responsible for the West Wing, and he brings in a lot of his trademark witty banter and fast-paced dialogue, which I think at times makes the anti-hero or the protagonist, Mark Zuckerberg, the fictitious character, sound like he has Asperger's syndrome. And so it's a very famous opening sequence that people are talking that The Social Network is going to be nominated for Best Oscar Film. I think it's a really great film. I looked around the audience to try to get the vibe out of it, and the audience seemed like, it was kind of like gorillas trying to understand what an iPhone was. You know, a lot of people were like, there was a girl and a guy, heterosexual couple, sitting next to me in the movie theater, and they were like staring at the screen like, I must understand this because this will make money.
Well, I have to say, it was kind of a slow moving film, and I thought it was, I'll have to be honest, a tad boring. It was a little dull. I was kind of like, when it was over.
It was fascinating for me. And you and I have gone to a lot of tech conferences. We've stood face to face with a lot of people who run internet startups and people with stars in their eyes. We started podcasting back when it was called internet radio or audio blogging. And we stood and talked with a lot of people, much like Mark Zuckerberg, who had big dreams and very little ability to verbalize it and allegedly very little social skills. And we've been burned ourselves too. And, you know, and so I really enjoyed seeing all this kind of like behind the scenes work of creating a website, you know, with a wonderful score by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, which was fantastic. And so, you know, to making like my everyday life exciting and fun and, you know, like as if Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to show up with a machine gun and a car chase was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely parts of it that was kind of interesting to see the behind the scenes. But I think for the general public, they're going to be like, they're not going to care.
We need to push for Google the movie.
Ooh.
Their first rule was, don't be evil.
And look what happens when they broke
all the rules.
It wasn't just that rule. It was all of them.
How about Twitter the movie? The fail wailed. So I asked
Tumblr the movie?
Commodore 64, the movie. Mm-hmm. I asked our Facebook friends, what did you think if Feast of Fun were to be made into a movie, what would our tagline be? And so this is what some people wrote here. Brian Damson, giving a new meaning to download Feast of Fun. Gay guys that give the best oral.
Ooh,
Feast of Fun.
I like that one.
Brian Damson. Brian had a lot of them. Cabaret singer Brian Damson. Why do you think they call it a job?
I don't get it.
I don't know. That's what. Now the internet isn't just for porn anymore. Feast of Fun, the movie. I don't know about that one.
I always like that. I say we're the thing on the internet that's not porn.
It's Feast of Fun. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. Here's a couple other ones here. Feast of Fun, the movie. When you're fabulously and fantastically fierce, everybody fiercely wants to be your friend. I don't know. Kyle, work on that one some more. Kyle Schellinger. Kevin Shalvosky. He wants us to steal Dolly Parton's quote, "It takes a lot of effort to look this cheap." Feast of Fun, the movie. Force feminization, the horror and triumph.
Ooh.
Ernest Garcia.
Ooh, I like it.
Warren Jones came up with release the pressure.
Saca la presión.
Feast of Fun. I think that right now the Steamworks ad campaign is so interwoven with the Feast of Fun. May it be a partnership that lasts a lifetime. Mm. Feast of Fun, a fiercely fanciful fuckfest.
Fuckfest?
That's what Keith T. Smith said. And Luis Barraza said, social media with balls.
Ooh.
It's like we own machine guns of content. In real life, does Mark Zuckerberg talk like that? I was walking into our local coffee shop, and sure enough, lots of people came up to me, and they're like, asking as if I knew who Mark Zuckerberg was. Mm-hmm. They said, is he really like that? And I said, I don't personally know him. Mm-hmm. I've never met him. I know quite a few people that know him. And I ran one woman, a lovely woman who went to high school with him. She said, he's a perfectly normal human being.
And he wasn't weird like that?
No, not at all. You know, like awkward, like most high school mm-hmm. students, but nothing like, you know, talking that rapid West Wing style of that machine gun style that, mm-hmm. you know, and really what they're doing in that opening sequence is he's talking at the same speed that everybody else does, but he doesn't put a lot of time and energy into every single word. And so he comes across as if he's talking really quickly, but he's not actually not saying anything any faster than anybody else.
So he's not talking like Obama or Eartha Kitt. He's not speeding things up and slowing things down.
Because you were saying that the English language is actually is very different than other types of languages.
It is. Well, we have an English language. It's a Germanic language. Therefore, it's a stressed language. So you can stress certain things. If you want to make emphasis on a certain word, you stress it when you're speaking it.
Ah.
So if you say, I'm going to the store. But in other, like some languages like Spanish or in French, you couldn't really do it like that. You couldn't say, je vais. You know, you couldn't stress it. It would sound weird.
You sound like Eartha Kitt trying to talk in Spanish.
And so you would say like something like in French, you would say, me, I'm going to the store.
I'll give you a translate. Voy a hablar en español un poquito porque te quiero explicarme como la gente que habla en español habla como Mark Zuckerberg en inglés. See how that mm-hmm. sounds perfectly normal in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But if I were to talk like that in English, I would sound like somebody who has Asperger's.
And then it's weird when you hear like people that are foreigners and they kind of understand the concept of a stressed word, but they stress like the wrong word or they stress it funny.
Do you feel The Social Network captured Facebook well? Like, did it do a good job? This is what director Aaron Sorkin, the man who made this mm-hmm. movie, this is what he has to say about Facebook. He said this on Stephen Colbert's television program. I don't have much to share. If I have something to share, I'll call a person. Facebook is a performance. Socializing on the internet is to what socializing in real life, what reality TV is to reality.
Mm.
I don't think so.
Well, I think that there's certainly nuggets of truth, and you can certainly find truth and authenticity in a Facebook post. But sometimes people will post things, and they do it because, you know, to be provocative or to, you know, maybe just share the mundane parts of their life. But I think for the most part, they're like, I want to entertain other people.
I think that Facebook is like any type of communication. Mm-hmm. It's the way that you communicate is intrinsic to the limitations of it. And so just like talking to somebody on the phone is not the same thing as talking to them face to face. But no one ever goes, talking on the phone is what reality TV is to reality. You know, it's no one's questioning its validity as a way of communication.
I know a lot of people that say they hate talking on the phone. Like, I don't like talking on the phone.
But no one's declaring, you know, phones be dead or you know, right. What is the value of a phone call?
Mm-hmm.
And same goes for Facebook. It's like it's a tool. And if you see it as just as a tool of many tools you have to reach out and connect with people and not as a substitute for other types of tools, mm-hmm. even interacting in person is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a glory hole is a tool. You know, they're all tools, you know, and so you in order to not be a tool yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to think about different ways that you can communicate mm-hmm. with people. And this is what my sister loves to say to her, to the kids when she teaches high school. Cuss words don't work because they keep you from saying what you really want to say. They make you speak in cliches. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, I'm really angry because of these and these reasons, if you say, I'm fucking mad, I'm pissed off, fuck you, you know, it doesn't really communicate your feelings.
Yeah, where are you going to go from there? You know, it's hard to communicate. Now, people do use it, you know, improperly and wrong. I get emails from people like, hey, I want to come on the show, and I don't mind, like, starting the conversation there, but it's like trying to plan all the show through Facebook. It's like, it's not a business tool. You know, get somebody's email, write to them.
Who are these Winklevoss hunks in this movie? I didn't realize that part of this movie cost $50 million to make.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my dinner with Andre cost what?
$5,000.
Most of the money, I'm guessing, went into the CGI, into composting one actor's face into two bodies.
Just tell them how they did it, because like I watched this movie, I assumed that they were actual twins. I'm like, where'd they find these hunky twins to play them?
I know.
Because they really pulled it off very well.
So Cameron Winklevoss and his twin brother are both played by the face and by the voice by actor Armie Hammer, mm-hmm. who's the grandson.
Great-grandson
mm-hmm. of...
Armand Hammer, who was an industrialist. He was in charge of Occidental Petroleum. He was really flamboyant, and he was kind of famous, and he died in 1990. He had a lot of dealings with the Russians, and his father actually was a Russian-Jewish immigrant, and he named him Armand Hammer after the arm... You know, arm
after baking soda?
After the communist symbol, the socialist symbol of the arm and hammer.
Oh.
But he later owned part of that company.
So did he buy it after his name?
Afterwards.
I wonder, should I buy Fausto's Fried Chicken and franchise in Florida?
I think maybe you should. I think eventually you should.
It's my destiny.
Your destiny to own it. But yeah, he was a colorful character. And he was rumored to be gay. He liked to go up in hot air balloons with attractive young men.
Mm.
And I mean, man, he sure had some hot offspring.
I know. Well, it's hard to confuse the actor and his body double interesting enough, the actor that plays the other Winklevoss person in the movie, who later's face gets composted over, both of these actors, Armie Hammer, were competing for the same role in Gossip Girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this poor guy, this model, who are actually friends in real life, mm-hmm. and I think they look like a little bit more than just friends in real life.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? 220 pounds sounds like a good time to me. 6'5", 220 pounds. We can make this work. There's two of you.
Mm-hmm. But they actually know the real life Winklevosses.
They know the real life Winklevosses. They haven't met in real life.
Oh. But they went to the same actors. School. They have friends.
They both went to Harvard. They share friends in common. They mm-hmm. both went to Harvard.
And I guess the other thing, too, is the weird thing is like this composting thing. If I like, get it right, because like, you know, in the Patty Duke show, they used to have Patty and then her cousins, identical cousins. And they would just have like, you know, a body double, or they'd have like a split screen. But you're saying in these scenes, it was the other actor who was like standing there. Like at the boardroom table, and then later on, they reshot it with the other guy's head.
Yeah, so there wasn't, I don't think there was a lot of, if any, green screen technique was being used. Mm-hmm. They were just like literally pasting the face mm-hmm. on top of the other face. So I'm sure that if you slow down the film, I mean, it's $50 million, doesn't I couldn't imagine it would go very far, but in some of the wider scenes when they're rowing, for example, together, mm-hmm. that was probably shot elsewhere and pasted onto his face. Mm. I think it's pretty remarkable, the technology that, you know, I certainly was convinced.
Cut, copy, paste.
You know, 6'5", 220 pounds, twins, one for you and one for me, Mark.
I know.
So sexy.
And then on the weekends, we could share them or switch them around or something.
In real life, the Winklevosses say they finally, in 2008, actually went on Facebook. And they created accounts for themselves.
So after they got the $60 million,
they finally joined the site. And after admitting it was the best way to keep in touch with friends they've made rowing for the United States at the Beijing Olympics. "We don't hate the product," Cameron Winklevoss said. "If Facebook was killing animals for fur, it would be the product we would have an issue with. But we have an issue with Mark Zuckerberg."
Oh, you got $60 million.
You think they would just relax?
I think they're suing him again, right?
I don't know about that, but
I wonder who's richer in real life. Are the what's their name again? Winklevoss?
The real Winklevoss twins,
or Arnie Hammer, because his father was, or his great grandfather was a billionaire.
I know this is the sort of situation where the actors who play the single actor that plays these two mm-hmm. twins in real life share so much in common with them mm-hmm. that it wasn't really. It's kind of like Courtney Love playing a drugged out coke whore.
Did she win an Academy Award?
An Academy Award for that.
But what happens if these guys get nominated?
People versus Larry Flint.
If they get nominated for an Academy Award, I mean, how are they going to divvy that up between him and the guy that's the body double?
They'll just have to, you know, insert the award in between. It just seems to me like there's a little, gay-friendly loving mm-hmm. happening there in Arnie Hammer and his... And the photos that I've seen, you know,
they're very close to each other.
They seem like they're chummy, you know, and they're make a cute Hollywood power couple. Go for it. Maybe they can make it gets better video.
They can do it gets better video.
Kara Swisher of All Things Digital said, sure, Zuckerberg has been diffident, has treated some friends shabbily even recently, and has even been borderline disingenuous once or twice with me personally. But that's not different from a lot of people I cover in technology, and that does not make him that proverbial asshole of the movie. Oh, sure, I've known a few real assholes in my time covering Silicon Valley, but that's a list I'll keep for my movie.
Ooh.
The assholes of Silicon Valley. Justin Timberlake went on The Daily Show. He said when he was asked to discuss the phenomena that is Facebook, he replied, "Dude, I'm an actor and a musician. I have no idea what Facebook is."
He really said that?
That's what he said.
He did not.
That's what he said. He was like, "Yeah, let's talk about
the actor comes first now out of his thing. He's not a musician."
I guess Justin Timberlake no longer a musician.
Let's talk about how femmy his voice is in the movie. It's like almost like a Michael Jackson level of mm-hmm. like, "Oh my God.
I'm Justin Timberlake."
Yeah.
He's so feminine, wonderful. And you know, I have to say it was really nice to see him almost naked. I think he's sexy.
I don't even remember that.
You were
sleeping
during that part of the movie.
Was I?
Yeah. So he wakes up with a girl. He's like, they try to make him look like a gangster rapper in that movie.
And people are ridiculous. Saying, like, this guy in real life is nothing like that. Because they kept talking about him being the co-founder of Napster. Napster, because, you know, he actually worked for Facebook for a while until he got busted doing cocaine. But, like, when I thought about Napster, I was like, isn't this guy's name Sean Fanning? Because, like, that's the only person I ever remember hearing about in the news. Sean Fanning. I don't even think I ever heard about this other guy.
What was the other guy's name?
Perkins. Sean Perkins.
Sean Penn.
No.
Sean Perkins. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met a lot of these people. None of them seem like they could handle more than 3 drinks. That's all I'm
going
to say.
So the idea of
that's
going
a nice
out and doing
thing.
Shots and stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, or being a cocaine addict. I'm like,
it's hard to do like code and stuff like that when you're drunk. Because then you just like, you know, you fuck up your website.
But yeah, you fuck up your website, you break it, and then you have to spend more time and more energy fixing mm-hmm. stuff. You know, it's not like cleaning your house when you're high.
Right.
You know, and we don't recommend anybody do that, even though it's technically somewhat legal to smoke pot in California now.
Almost.
Almost.
What's happening with the governor said Well, you can get caught with up to an ounce of pot in California, and you'll just get a fine.
This is Arnold Schwarzenegger in his own voices. Unfortunately, Proposition 9 is a deeply flawed measure that will adversely impact...
Well, you should explain what Proposition 19
is. Oh, so yeah. So they're trying to basically legalize marijuana for recreational use in California. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, before the election, just went ahead and downgraded pot possession into an infraction. So if you're caught with less than an ounce, you could face a fine of up to $100 and nothing more.
Yeah.
So, and as opposed to going to prison.
And an ounce is that's a substantial amount of marijuana. Surprisingly
is it?
Enough. Yeah, it's pretty big.
Because I have no idea what that looks
most
like.
Most people buy marijuana in either eighths, so an eighth of an ounce, or a quarter of an ounce. You know, some people get it in an ounce and they like divvy it up with their friends. So it's like, if you just have an ounce, chances are it's for your own personal consumption, or you're just going to share it with your friends.
I think if computer coders do drugs of any kind, it's going to be things like caffeine, like energy drinks. They're not going to do stuff that scrambles your brain or disorients you, because you have to concentrate.
They're all on Ritalin. They're taking Ritalin.
Focus. Did you like the Mark Zuckerberg's actual appearance on The Simpsons? He played himself. The episode was titled Lone Elisa, where Lisa Simpson and her friend Nelson Muntz encounter Zuckerberg at an entrepreneur's convention. And I thought it was cute, you know.
It was just not very memorable.
Yeah.
And like, then they go roller skating with him later and he falls and you're like, what?
Huh? And he updates his Facebook status. Mark Zuckerberg is in intense pain.
Oh. What is his Facebook page? Can you become friends with Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook?
You can't become... He actually, interestingly enough, for somebody who's kind of very flippant with privacy, his Facebook page is very locked away, but you can still find it. And you can... I'll read to you a little bit
Zuck,
off of it.
Isn't it? Or something? Facebook.com/Zuck?
Zuck. Yes, the Zuck. Zuck. The Zuckmeister.
Zucker means sugar in German.
So you can find out what he likes.
Oh, really? What does he like?
He likes Firefox.
Oh.
The lady prefers iced tea to liqueurs. History to geography. Anyways, he likes Facebook, interestingly enough. Energizer, the batteries.
You can like Facebook on Facebook?
Yes.
How many people like Facebook on Facebook?
I don't know. You could look at that on your own. He likes iTunes. He likes The Onion. He likes Feast of Fun.
He does.
Just kidding. No, he doesn't know who we are. But he likes, I was looking at, like, of all the new media people, the only person that I could even recognize that he would know is the Gary Vaynerchuk of Wine TV.
Oh.
Who still, with all his money and success, will not invest in a lavalier microphone. If you can believe it. He likes Avatar the movie. And he likes Bill Gates.
Oh.
But Bill Gates
gave him $200 million. Why wouldn't he like him?
Barack Obama, he likes. He likes the movie Troy. He seems kind of a little bit gay to me. Kevin Rose, he likes. The CEO of Dig, soon to disappear. And he likes The Matrix. He likes Star Wars. And he loves gay sex. No, I'm just adding that one to the end.
But he's a hot bottom.
You think? The thing about it, they showed him, he went on Oprah and they showed him with his Asian girlfriend. So you know what that means.
Last stop on the heterosexual train.
Choo choo! All aboard! Chugga 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 chugga. What is it for you, Mark? Because you have been in here on Feast the Fools to Feast the Fun and gone through this adventure and this journey with me since day one, and seeing this movie and seeing how much struggle and anxiety and people insulting and demoralizing each other and leaving people behind and screwing people over. I mean, how do you feel like the social network reflect on your personal life and working on a website?
I don't know. What we do is so much different, and our content that we do is so much different than what Facebook does, because I feel as though Facebook is, you know, it's an overarching architecture for people to share all sorts of things, whereas, you know, ours is more specific. And, you know, the primary function of our website is to produce this show and then give people an opportunity to also share their interests on here as well. So it's just a different framework.
I'm not asking you to compare the website to each other. I'm talking about the film, the experience of the film, watching the film versus your own experience behind the scenes.
Well, I think it's markedly different because I think what we've done is we've created this ourselves, and it was never an issue of what was created and who created what. You know, it's
There's been people who've gone around saying they helped create this site or this podcast or what we did, and you know, if we made $4 billion, I'm sure we'd be sued by some.
It never had that kind of stuff. Never has any legs, though.
Well, and so same goes Mark Zuckerberg, who says
$60 million, and I don't know what was Eduardo. I don't know what Eduardo got. I bet it was more than 60.
It seems like the relationship was a little bit like gay. Mm. You know, like I was your best friend, and like he's completely ignoring his girlfriend in the movie. You know, I'm just saying, and his girlfriend's Asian too.
Yeah, they share that in common.
They like Asian girls. And you know what?
Some guys just do like Asian girls.
Yeah, it is possible to be a heterosexual man and like Asian women before you come out as gay. Just kidding. I stood at the many podcasting and new media and blogging conferences, and I've met some really remarkable visionary people face to face. I've met the editor and creator of Mashable, who's extremely gorgeous and charming, whose name escapes me now, Pete Cashmore, and certainly Ben Parr, who's very arrogant and icy, who's the editor of who was at one time the editor of Mashable. I've met one of the creators of podcasting and the concept of podcasting, Adam Curry, face to face. I've met many times Leo Laporte, who's a tech pioneer, Kevin Scoble, and you know, and my favorite of all the characters all the colorful characters is really the Glamazon of new media,
Susan Bratton.
Susan Bratton, who's just a character. If they made a movie and she was a character in it, she would have to play herself, or they would have to get Lucy Lawless to do her. That's the thing I'm wondering is like, if we were made into a movie, if Visa Fund, who would play? I mean, everybody knows who would play you.
I think that person's probably a little too young to play me.
Who's that?
What's his name? That cute guy with the that was in Hairspray.
Hairspray, the movie.
Yeah, the musical.
That's Blonde. Cute. Yeah, he would be good.
He'd have to wear brown contacts though.
The one from High School Musical.
Yes, him.
Zac Efron.
We'd have Zac play me.
That'd be cute.
With brown hair.
And then in the half of the movie would be me kissing you on the sofa as you took a nap.
Who would play you?
I don't know. I would want Ricky Martin to play me.
He's too old for you.
Ricky Martin's son. When he grows up, I don't know.
You have to get.
I want
younger.
Oprah Winfrey to play me. She's like, I'm a strong black woman. I can take any role. That'd be kind of interesting.
I don't know. It's
Kevin Sorbo.
Again, too. You need Tom somebody Cruise. Young.
Oh, like a teen heartthrob. You know who I'd love to have play me? Ian Somerhalder.
That'd be good.
Oh yes, and then that'd we could do good. A lot of
from the Vampire Diaries
rehearsing and Lost too. Mm-hmm. I would love to like meet with him and give him like some tips on how to be
you.
Me.
You're like, this is how I stroke my cock.
To know me is to get underneath my skin.
You have to be inside me.
You must learn.
That Vampire Diaries is pretty homoerotic. It's like they don't have any ugly guys on that show at all.
I know. It's
and
like
werewolves. I'm just like,
this is the age of hunks on television and movies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like even the nerds are fuckable. I would do the actors that played Mark Zuckerberg. I would have sex with Mark Zuckerberg too. Pete Cashmore though is much hunkier than Mark Zuckerberg.
Mashable.
Oh my God, he's just like and talking to him, and when he holds your hands and kisses you on the lips, it's like you're dancing with an angel.
And he has that Scottish accent too. Right?
I'm just a simple farm boy from Scotland, Fausto. Now hold me in my arms. Trula-lula-lula.
I follow him on Twitter just so I can see his pretty little face on those tweets.
Oh, is he so pretty? I think that's what most people follow him on Mashable. It's not, they don't want to really know about tech news
social
and stuff.
Media, they're like, no, they're just what like, does this hot guy have? Because if you're hot and you're on the internet and you say something, people listen.
They do.
They do.
That's why they're listening to us.
That's true.
Despite odds. I mean, check it out. This is this handsome young man. What's his name? He goes on
Carlton or no, Calvin.
Calvin. And he's, check this out. This is his response to the It Gets Better campaign.
ended up being my first boyfriend. I fell for him so hard, so fast, that I ended up coming up for him. And it was one of the best things that's ever happened in my life. I was so in love that I didn't care who knew I was gay. I didn't care what they thought of me. I updated my Facebook. Calvin is now interested in men. And it was like a bomb went off. People were asking me, did your Facebook get hacked? Are you really gay? I can't believe it. The same people that my entire life had told me, you look so gay, you talk so gay, you walk so gay, were now saying, oh, are you really gay? I can't believe it. From that moment on, when I actually came out and I was with people that were older in a city that was more accepting, it got better. I look back on who I was when I was closeted and I don't recognize that person. I don't. It was honestly another life. I cannot put myself in those shoes again. You cannot pay me to go back. I just want to promise you that it gets better.
It gets better.
It gets better. Listen, if I was a gay teenager and I saw that video, it would give me inspiration.
Well, he's very cute.
He's adorable and he's so charming. And,
he's,
you know,
he's friends with one of our friends on Facebook, our listeners, Peter Vega. He's posted that link on our Facebook and said, he went to college with this, with Calvin.
And then the cast of Wicked on Broadway, they're doing their It's Get Better campaign.
Mm-hmm. When I was young,
I was different. Very effeminate. Fat. Had big hair. Bad skin.
I actually had to eat my lunch in the boys' bathroom because no one would let me sit at their table.
People used to call me faggot. Gay.
People used to call me a lesbian.
They used to call me all kinds of names.
I just wanted to die. I had no friends at all.
These guys are really, really hot.
The football players used to pick me up and spin me around on their shoulders. Kids used to follow me home from school. Throw eggs at my house and my car.
I actually got to talk to my bully from high school. And it's been 10 years. And he actually confided in me and told me that he was jealous of me because I had all the girls liking me.
My senior year, the year that I came from King.
He had all the bully confiding in him that he was secretly jealous. Mm. Probably a little bit in love with him.
I would guess. He certainly is cute now. I wonder what he looked like in high school.
Well, guess who's coming forward out of the closet as a gay man and as a bully? Who would you guess?
Well, I'm looking at a picture of Lance Bass right there on that
screen. That's right. So. Lance Bass was a bully in high school. This is from MTV.
Well, I was really shocked to hear that so many suicides have been happening so recently. You know, the school year has just begun, so, I mean, that obviously has something to do with it. And it makes me so sad to know that these kids, it's just an unnecessary thing to do. I mean, I can tell you right now, when I was in high school in Mississippi, I was one of the first ones to jump on the bandwagon to make fun of a gay person. And, I mean, look how I turned out. You know, it's like I had a secret this whole time. So if people can look at me and see that, like, I was one of those bullies that, like, always made fun of gay people, and I had this huge secret. So there's always a bigger story than what you see. You know, as a teenager, I really didn't get picked on because I really tried to stay, you know, in the background. You know, I tried staying friends with every single person, but a lot of kids don't have that, are not that lucky to be able to socialize like other kids. Some people just don't have that skill or even they want to, and those are the ones that really get picked on just because they're not best friends with still the most popular douchebag. Person. Or
what?
I said, okay, he still has a douchebag.
Why do you say that?
Because I don't know. I just think he's like talking like, oh, maybe it is kind of true.
I just think it's great. Lance Bass is coming out of the closet as a bully. Neil Patrick Harris is coming out as fabulous.
Mm-hmm. What Neil Patrick? He did
also the one, but we're just running out of time. And Nicki Minaj came out in support of, she's a bisexual rapper.
Oh.
So, you know, she's a kind of a big name in the rapping scene. Mm-hmm. She's a rising star. She's kind of a, she's the, not, I wouldn't say Lady Gaga of rapping. She's more like the Christina Aguilera of rapping.
Well, I just, you know,
she's more like the Cyndi Lauper rapping.
I hope all of this does do some good, but I mean, when you think about the statistics of kids that kill themselves, it's overwhelming. So what is it? 5,000 teenagers commit suicide every year. 1/3 of those are gay teens. So that's 1,500. And now if you divide that by, it's pretty much, it's 4.5 gay kids every single day commit suicide. And so we're making a big deal out of these five kids that have made it in the past month. But I want people to really to put this in perspective. It's 30 times that number in the past month have really killed themselves.
We just don't hear about it.
It's not making the news, or it's an accident, or it's covered up, or maybe their sexuality isn't disclosed. So it's the tip of the iceberg.
And the silver lining too is that the best way to fight abuse, mm-hmm. violence, and bullying and suicide mm-hmm. in your community is to talk about these things mm-hmm. and to bring up these issues. Mm-hmm. Yes, copycat suicides do happen, but not talking about it is even worse. For every gay teenager that tries to commit suicide, that succeeds in committing suicide, there are over 100 unsuccessful attempts, according to the CDC.
Wow.
The actual official numbers are around 1,600 deadly mm-hmm. suicides as a result of bullying, of being perceived as being gay mm-hmm. or effeminate, of being an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
So Max Simon on Queerty, he writes, this is an interesting take, but you know who I'd like to see videos from? Celebrities who have built their images on being bullies besides Lance Bass. 50 Cent.
Did he say besides Lance
Bass? No, I added that part. 50 Cent, Eminem, Mel Gibson could sit this one out. Mm-hmm. Have these folks get in front of a camera and talk about why they act like douchebag assholes to other people. Tell us about your childhood and how you've used bullying as a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. Take us inside the minds of people who taunt, who abuse other children, who call them names, who go home and sleep at night, especially 50. Got a lot of making up to do.
Mm.
So I think this is great. This is, this is exactly what we need right now. This is important. We're, right now we're working on some other projects, and so we're about to do our own video as well, and hopefully people will like it.
Yeah.
But there's tons of them.
Should we do it in drag or not in drag? People, we want to know.
I think we should do it as ourselves just to get it out, you know? So, but we should also do it in drag if we can.
Why
as
not?
Vampires.
I have a new drag mirror.
I noticed that. We went to a very fabulous Swedish minimalist mm-hmm. furniture store.
Out in the suburbs with our suburban tranny friend.
Yes, Tracy Tyler, and we were shopping till we were dropping and came home with very little except a couple lamps and a mirror.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd wanted the mirror for a long time because we have that kitchen counter, which you've all seen in videos. And, when we're putting on makeup for like Halloween's coming up, we have a couple of different events coming up. So I'm just like, I want to have another mirror so we're not trying to fight over the same mirror.
So there you go. And mm-hmm. What are you going to dress up for Halloween?
I'm going to do the pandas again this year.
Panda.
But I'm also, we have the Haunted Halstead coming up, which is a pub crawl through Boys Town on October 24th, 2 p.m. Kickoffs at Berlin Nightclub at 945 West Belmont. And so I want to do my makeup that morning, too, before we head over there. And I want to be able to not be like interfered with anybody else's.
I really want to channel Vampire Diaries for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be an Edwardian vampire.
Vampire Diaries take place nowadays.
Yeah, but in the TV show, they go back in time. Yeah, they flashback.
That's like Civil War.
Or whatever. I want to be a Civil War vampire then. Basically, the nice thing about being a vampire mm-hmm. is you can take any kind of costume mm-hmm. that you like that you right. think is a little sexy mm-hmm. and just stick in the fangs, pale your skin, which in my opinion is...
You don't have to do much.
I don't have to do
pale.
Much, yeah. And just walk out of the house and people think I'm a vampire anyway. So, perfect. meanwhile, Kathy Geithwei's iconic feminist cartoon strip, Kathy, ran its final strip in the paper.
I know.
With the words iPhone was the last word. This is what Kathy's character, Kathy's mother, said to her about her baby and about feminism mm-hmm. and really about Kathy and feminism in general. Your generation opened doors, demanded changes, raised expectations, transformed society, and exceeded the dreams of every generation before you. Mm. You have to know anything is possible. It gets better. I added that last part.
And so what Kathy says, guess what, Mom? I'm pregnant.
Yeah, I got a baby girl.
I got a baby coming.
And she's like, oh, I can't wait. You want to see the... And then her husband, Irving,
turns to the dad, do you want to see the ultrasound on my iPhone?
When did Kathy even get married? I stopped reading Kathy in like the 80s.
I like it better when, was that Mad Magazine or Cracked mm-hmm. did a parody called Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Amy Winehouse as Kathy.
Oh my God, I love it.
That was so hysterical. I don't know where you can find that on the internet, but it's if you can find it, it's hysterical.
Kathy as Amy Winehouse. Cracked.
A lot of things are changing. You know, fall means the leaves are changing. The Cabrini Green projects, mm-hmm. as you can see them in the opening credits of the iconic 70s television show Good Times here in Chicago, are being demolished as we speak. I took a picture of it. We were just driving past it, and there's very little left of the building, but it's still... You can see
there's still other buildings. That's not the last one.
But that is the one that you see in the opening credits of
Good
Times.
Are you sure that's the actual one?
Honey, I'm a fan of Good Times. I know. I keep my head above water, making a wave if I can, hanging in a chow line. I know the lyrics.
Yes, you do. But you know what I loved about it too is like it was the buildings half down, and then the colors that they used to paint the inside. There was a lot of pink
and green.
A lot of pink in that Cabrini Green.
Because I guess the pink walls keep you from going crazy.
Is that what it is?
If you live in a ghetto.
They're soft and nurturing.
What?
They're soft and nurturing.
Whereas the green makes you go mad.
No, green is also relaxing.
A viral photo that's going around the internet, McDonald's in San Francisco put up a sign. In all cities, McDonald's puts up a sign that says, we're out of boy toys.
Ooh.
For their Happy Meals.
Really?
Yeah, and everyone's like, ha, 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 ha.
I'll never forget going through the drive-thru as a kid. We were in high school, my friend Daria and I. We were going through and we pulled out a Kotex maxi pad. We had planned it. We ordered stuff and then we put the Kotex over like the filet of fish sign. Because like before then, they didn't have cameras looking at that stuff. So we put it on there and stuck it and then picked up our food and off we went.
I tried to actually order food on a drive-thru on my bicycle mm-hmm. and they wouldn't serve me.
Well, some guy did it on a horse in the UK in Wales last
week. Was he able to?
Yeah.
Successfully? Oh, there you go. What happened with Chippendales?
So Chippendales was trying to sue and trying to say that, you know, the picture of their studly male dancers with the collar, the bow tie, and then they have the cuffs, that they were trying to trademark that look. But the court said, no, it's not really, you can't trademark that look, really. And they're like, by the way, where did you get it anyways? And they're like, well, we kind of ripped it off from the Playboy Bunnies. And they're like, well, that's strike number two. So, no, you can't trademark that look.
Although, have you ever put on a bow tie shirtless and walked around your apartment? I'm a Chippendales dancer.
No, but
I've done that.
Maybe we should go as Chippendales dancers for Halloween.
I'm not there yet. People but are like, you can do it. You've been working out. I'm like, honey, it's like, in order to have a body of an athlete, mm-hmm. you have to be an athlete sometimes. You know, it's like, I am no Winkle Voss. Mm-hmm. Not yet. Fashion designer Mondo came out as HIV positive, joining the ranks of such people on reality TV that have come as HIV mm-hmm. positive as Angina.
Right.
And Jack McEnroth.
But also from Project Runway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was great because the contest on that day was to design a fabric. Well, he did design this pretty fabric that was purple, yellow, and black, but it had these positive signs.
Plus signs.
Plus signs.
Yeah.
So it is like everybody knows, especially if you're in fashion, what, you know, what that meant. And he was displaying his wares on the stage and he was describing it. He didn't come out yet as HIV positive. And he was like, well, I'd like to hear the story behind it. He's like, it's very personal. And then she's kind of like, I'm like, Nina, you know, Nina. And then he came out as HIV positive. A lot of people, especially like on Facebook or people I've talked to, were really inspired by that and really thought it was very touching.
And Nina kind of like said, I wonder what that story's about. And he looked at her with a sour look. Mm-hmm. I am positive.
No, he didn't.
Well, he kind of looked at her, like snapped at her, you know, like, what do you
want? You can't trust that stuff, though. You have to be very careful how you edit
it. Well, they edited it to make it look like he was reacting negatively to her innocent question.
No.
I'm sure there's a really funny story behind that pattern.
I want to know what are all these positive signs doing up there.
Does that have anything to do with your health, with your HIV status? So what do you think? I mean, what's going to happen to Mondo? He seems like the likely winner of Project Runway.
He does seem like the likely winner. And I think he's going to get some kind of contract with like Glaxo Welcome.
A pharmaceutical company.
So he's going to get his HIV check, as I like to call it. So he'll get... he'll get paid. There's my two money and AIDS HIV
you could,
jokes.
You could fit Paige-HIV.
Paige-HIV. Because that Jack McEnroth, I mean, being out and gay and being HIV positive, he got a big Paige-HIV check.
Say as Sarah Silverman likes to say, uh-huh, when life gives you AIDS, make lemonades.
Yes.
Or we say lemon paids. Get paid, honey.
Get paid by those pharmaceutical companies.
If you're an HIV positive celebrity, they should just write you a check. Mm-hmm. You know, like Annie Lennox, mm-hmm, who goes around like wearing a t-shirt that says HIV positive.
But she's not positive.
And then she goes, well, thankfully I'm not.
But thank you for the check anyway. No,
no. She actually, in real life, Annie Lennox actually goes and works face to face, you know, hand to mouth, working to advance awareness and legislation for healthcare and for HIV and AIDS. So she's really awesome about it.
Awesome.
But it, you know, that there's that weird video where she's sitting on a couch with a t-shirt and it says HIV positive on it, and she's like bragging about how she doesn't have AIDS, and it's kind of like,
it's a little
out
weird.
Of context.
Yeah, it's a little, it's like, huh, it's a head scratcher. You don't know what quite to make out of it. But I love Mondo, and I think it's, who's gonna be the top three? It's gonna be Mondo, Gretchen, and I'm not sure who the other one's gonna be. It's kind of up for grabs.
Whatever it is, don't bore Nina.
Don't bore Nina.
I would say that one thing that could go a long way that is, Jocelyn Elders, the Surgeon General, and Everett Koop both recommended that the U.S. government do this and got a lot of flack for it, is to fully legalize drugs in this country to reducing HIV infections. And the way this works is because making drugs illegal does not reduce consumption or addiction. It didn't work with alcohol and prohibition. Nope. In the country of Portugal, in the last 10 years, they've legalized all of drugs, and it's actually reduced violence. It's reduced crimes. And interestingly enough, they still have to do more studies. It's reduced HIV infections. And the way that works is because, well, you know, junkies are actually getting clean needles, and they're doing it in places where they can actually not have to hide from the police. And therefore, they're more conscious about, you know, their cleanliness. And also, people who go to prison for being arrested for drugs, they don't go to prison, and they don't have unprotected sex because most prisons sadly don't give condoms to prisoners, and sex does still occur.
Right. And so people do get transmission in prison. So if they're not in prison, chances are they're not going to get that transmission.
Exactly. And so, you know, and you think about it as like, well, I don't know anybody who's been in prison. I've never had sex with somebody who's been in prison. But when part of your community, when part of your population becomes infected or is moving around like that, chances are you've had sex with somebody who has been in prison and probably might have gotten HIV positive from being in prison.
Yeah, and there's a sad statistic that just came out of Canada, a study that they did, and they said that one out of four people with HIV has some kind of neurological or a brain disorder, whether that's, you know, dementia, seizures, because there's something about the HIV medications doesn't cross the brain-blood barrier. So there's people are ending up having issues, and if you have full-blown AIDS, you have twice as likely of a chance to have some kind of neurological disorder. So it's, you know, the medicine can help save your life, but also, too, you know, in the long run, who knows what the effects are going to be.
So it's a testament to all the people that we know that are living with HIV and AIDS that still manage to keep their wits about them.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, sometimes you just got to cut a bitch. Get pissed off. It's like, don't piss me off, honey. I got HIV, and I got a gun on me or something. You know? Listen, people, resolve your problems, you know, peacefully. Don't resort to violence.
But it's also important to say that too. I think, you know, it's a difficult study because listen, you have two stigmas there going. You have a stigma for HIV and AIDS, which, you know, is still out there for the general populace, and then also too is there's a stigma of mental illness when people don't ever want to talk about mental illness. I mean, I think more people would be more comfortable talking about HIV and AIDS rather than being mentally ill.
Well, if every HIV positive person could just come out of the closet on reality television and then get a lucrative contract with a pharmaceutical company everything would be fixed.
And then do a video say, yes, it gets better.
It gets better. Mm-hmm. Then we all be fine.
And everything will be fine.
Except for the Reverend, the Bishop, Eddie Long.
So that's his title, Bishop, huh?
He's the Bishop of the gay black Pope of mm-hmm. Atlanta.
What's he, the Bishop of, the Bishopric? Because that's what they call like their area that a bishop lords over is a bishopric.
I have no idea. saying that he's actually might be contemplating coming out of the closet as a same gender loving man.
Really? What's he going to do about his wife and kids?
They're going to understand him, but it's a situation where he's testing the waters. He's talking mm-hmm. things in a very ambiguous way.
Yeah, he is. He's being very, very ambiguous. Well, because they probably have him dead to rights is what I'm guessing. I mean, you look at those photos that they have. I mean, straight men don't take photos like that, do they?
John Goodman does it sometimes.
Oh, really? Barack Obama did it. Second sermon that he's delivered since then. And what did he say to those? Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the tent of the wicked will be no more. I don't know what the fuck that means, but
he sure likes to pontificate about things that he knows nothing about, like us. But
he says, "I am not going to stop living," and people cheer and they applauded. They're really supporting him.
Well, good for him.
So I think, though, I hope they support him when he does come out.
Well, they're fans of it. And mm-hmm. when you're fans of somebody, you're going to support them. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot, mm-hmm. He has to probably kill somebody
to hate him. Just a pastor. I mean, he's a rap artist, too.
He's got, him and, what's her name? Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. They could do an album together. If that's possible.
Do a little rap album.
If you believe it.
It's coming out as gay for the Lord. Maybe the wife knows, Maybe the wife's in on it. Maybe the wife likes a little something on the side, too. Maybe she also is same gender loving.
Who knows? I think we have to focus on things, the glass being half full. I mean, the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a bill to downgrade pot possession to an infraction, and that it's pretty likely that coming this election, Proposition 19 will legalize marijuana for recreational use for residents over the age of 21 in California.
But
unless all the people are smoking it and they forget to go vote that day.
But Schwarzenegger is not, he's not fond of that ordinance either. He doesn't want that to pass.
Yeah, he says,
out of office anyway? Is it this election?
He's a lame duck, yeah. This is the last cycle, I guess, last term.
So it's Jerry Brown against that awful woman from eBay.
I hope she doesn't get elected.
She spent like $100 million on her campaign. My God.
But the point I'm making is that it's like there is light at the end of the tunnel, and the overwhelming reaction and the fact that we do have Facebook, despite, if Mark Zuckerberg in real life is this awkward, lonely
dorkmeister,
it's like the fact that somebody like him or some people like us or people like you can rise up against adversity and the odds, and I'm going to give it to you right now, listeners, what it takes to succeed in all of this stuff. It's not just a good idea, but the idea needs to be strong that drives your website, that drives your business, that drives your passion and your career. You also have to have good execution. So it's not just like having a good idea for Facebook. It's also the fact that the technology behind it, the way that it works well. Mm-hmm. But also putting a lot of sweat and time. Movies like, I think The Karate Kid has done more to ruin people's lives than and Rocky. Because we all have been taught that we can just learn to be karate masters, or we can knock out Ivan Drago in a 10-minute montage. Mm-hmm. Just eat enough raw eggs for breakfast and you can do anything. And, sometimes it takes a lot of luck and it takes a lot of time and it takes a lifetime of pursuing your passion. And sometimes you get lucky enough and you're able to succeed and break through. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it's not a fight worth going for. It's not a task that is not important. And that is what we can take from all these tech startups and the movie The Social Network. Mm-hmm. We want to remind the listeners that today's show would not be possible without your financial contributions. If you like today's show, share it on your Facebook profile, on your Twitter account, on your blog. Tell somebody about the podcast that you love. We're going to leave you here with music from the movie The Social Network. The song Soft Trees Break the Fall by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross from the album The Social Network is available through our website, feastoffun.com. And if you act now, you can get 5 songs for free. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.